the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a friend that is always there, always available, and he's always able. Thank the Lord for that. Do pray in my prayer, I prayed for our missionaries. Do pray for all of our missionaries, but we have some that are in very dangerous places. There are some that we cannot even talk about on the internet because of the places that they are serving the Lord. But we do have a missionary that's in Saudi Arabia, and of course they've just had that bad car bombing, and it's very close to where they live, and so just pray for protection of our folks that are preaching the gospel in different places. But I find also that when we're in the will of the Lord, a car bomb won't hurt us. The Lord takes care of us, and it takes care of his own people. And so do pray for them, though, that the Lord would give and grant protection to each one of those. I was talking to a lady today at the bank, and she's talking about some of their missionaries in their church that are in places that they can't talk about it for the same reason. Many dangers, many problems there in this world, and there's much animosity toward the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is good for us to pray one for another and pray especially for those that are serving him in different places. If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. And we'll probably read down through verse number 14. And so just find that, follow along, and be thankful that we have a scripture. Be thankful we have a copy of the Word of God that we can study and apply it and hide it in our heart. So let's begin reading in verse number 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. As we read these verses, there's a few phrases there that you can look into, and each one of these phrases could be a message within itself. There's a lot of times that you'll find the little phrase in him or in Christ, and then also in whom, which is speaking of the Lord. Then we find also the praise of his glory is there three or four times in these few verses that we read. But I believe the primary subject here that we find that Paul is writing to the people of Ephesus is the grace of God. How that the grace was manifested to them, the Bible says here concerning Paul, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that's speaking of himself. Then he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Of course, we know the word of truth is the gospel, and we know we receive the gospel by the grace of God. And tonight, I want us just to think a little bit about that subject that we talk about a lot, we think about a lot. We are very grateful for the grace of the Lord. And tonight, I want to just sort of key in on that word grace and notice some important things about that, of what it does for us as a as a believer. God's grace for every day truly is amazing. We sing that song, I guess the most popular song probably in the world, most well-known song, is that song, Amazing Grace. You hear it from churches, you hear it from cathedrals, you hear it from synagogue, you hear it everywhere. You hear it even on the stage of the secular world, Amazing Grace. And when John Newton penned that, he certainly recognized what God had done for him, he being a wicked sinner coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes down that song that we sing and has been put to music, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And those verses, every one of them, speak to our heart. And you cannot read the scripture without knowing and recognizing the grace of the Lord, how prevalent it is in the Word of God. The first time that the word grace is used is found in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, and it's dealing with Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And we certainly are glad tonight that he found grace. We're certainly glad tonight because of his salvation, his household, the things that took place in his life, the preaching that the world rejected, and then he being saved and his family through the flood, through the ark. And Noah found grace, and that's the only way he found deliverance. I'm here tonight because one day I found grace, the grace of God. Someone told me about the gospel. Somebody told me about salvation. And so we are all here tonight because of that wonderful grace, that amazing grace that we have in our life. The last time that you'll find the word grace in the Bible is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21. And the writer there, John, tells us, says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Very fitting sign-off to the Word of God. A very fitting signature, we might say, to the whole Bible, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And so the grace of the Lord is entwined in so many verses and so many scriptures. I believe the Bible within the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find the word grace is used 170 times. The most common place that you find it is in the book of Romans. Romans has the word used 20 times within it. And it may not be in every chapter, it may not be in every verse, but you cannot read the Bible very far until you realize that our God is a gracious God, that our God loves mankind, loves His creation, and He has done everything that is in His power to bring us unto Himself. And so the grace of the Lord is very, very important. So I want us to look at just a few things about that word grace. If you would, turn over to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, and verse number 32. We find that grace is given to us because of the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things. Now the reason God gave us His Son is because He's a gracious God, because He loves the world, He loves people. And so grace speaks of God's gift, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so here we find that He spared not His own Son. He offered His Son as a redemption for mankind that would come unto Him. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, turn there if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, Second Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. The Bible says, For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So here we find the Lord being rich, full of mercy, full of grace. He became poor. He became a man. He became part of mankind, that you and I might be a part of his family and part of his life, and that we might, we that were poor and needy, that we could now have riches given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is a giving grace. It is a rejoicing grace. We rejoice because of what he does for us. The grace of the Lord assures us of certain things in our life. I'm assured of certain things in my life. You are, as a believer, as a Christian, we have assurance of certain promises that the Lord has given to us, that they will be delivered and we will experience those things. We have the promise of everlasting eternal life. We have a promise of a new home. We have a promise of a new body. All those things are the gift of God, assuring us that there are better days ahead. I'm glad this is not all that we have. If this old world is all that we have, we are in terrible condition. If all we have is right now, as so many people believe and think, that we're just like an animal, we live, we die, and we're gone. If that's it, we have not much life. But I'm glad this afternoon, tonight, we can look at the Word of God and we can be assured, we can know that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ has offered and given to us a better life, a better home, a better body, everything perfect and pure, and that's all because of the grace of the Lord. It also is a constraining grace. It constrains us that we serve him and stay away from certain wickedness and things of this world, and then the grace of God will enable us to do certain things. Turn over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 11. 1 Timothy 1:11 says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed unto my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. We are enabled tonight because of the grace of the Lord. For that he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Here Paul is writing to this young preacher boy named Timothy, and Paul says, I'm thankful that the Lord has enabled us, enabled him, and put him, placed him into the ministry who was before, and Paul gives a little bit of a testimony here of his life, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Notice verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern of them to which hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant. It was abundant in faith and mercy. He said, I did those things I did in ignorance and unbelief and in rebellion against the Lord. But he says the Lord gave him through grace and that abundant favor, salvation. And so God's grace is amazing. It's amazing in its appearance to us. He came unto his own, but they would not receive him. But you and I tonight, we are recipients of the grace of God, because one day it appeared to us. It came to us by way of a message, or maybe a song, maybe reading the scripture. Somehow the gospel found its lodging place in our heart, and it opened our attention, opened our thoughts and our minds to the grace of the Lord and to the things that God has for us. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It appears to all men. And we certainly need to be doing our part that people hear about the grace of the Lord. So it's grace that is amazing, given to mankind, that everyone, anyone, can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If we did not believe that, we should shut our doors and just forget it. If Brother Solomon didn't believe that God could save any Nigerian, then he doesn't need to be preaching the gospel. I believe it's appeared to all men and can appear to them in power and strength and glory, that they might hear the gospel and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can the lost be saved? Yes, they can. Can religious people be saved, even in spite of their religion? Yes, they can. Can the Muslims get saved? Yes, they can. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to all men, and we certainly need to tell people about what he has done for us. So when we sing the song Amazing Grace, we sing it repetitiously. We don't even sometimes even think about the words that we are saying. But Amazing Grace that saved a what? A wretch, a wicked individual, one ungodly, full of rebellion in hearts. And that word wretch has so many different meanings. But he saved a wretch like me. Paul said he saved a wretch like him. He said he came to save sinners. And Paul says, of who I am chief. You know what he was saying there? He says, a wretched, miserable, wicked sinner. Thank God it appeared to Paul because of his ministry. I believe we are here tonight as a people that know and understand the gospel, because, of course, we know that Paul wrote most of the New Testament under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So as he was going his way to be injurious, to destroy, and to kill, he met the Lord one day on the road to Damascus. And he understood what God had for him and the ministry that God gave to him. And so we praise the Lord for the appearance of the message of salvation, the appearance of the grace of the Lord. Now, not only did it appear, but it's abundant. There's no limit to the grace of our God. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." So it tells us here that it's abundant grace. It doesn't run out. There's plenty of it. There's not a limit to that. And so it is abundant. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always having sufficiency in all things may abound in every work. Romans 5:17 says, "For by one man's offense death reigned by one," that speaks of Adam. It says, "But much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one," and he names him Jesus Christ. In one man we have death reigning in our lives. Because Adam sinned, Romans 5:12 tells us that by one man's sin entered into this world, and death by sin, so that all men are sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. But here in Romans 5:17, he says, "We have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and it reigns to life, and it's by the Lord Jesus Christ." Salvation truly by the Lord. Romans 5:20, just a couple of verses down from 17, says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." How many times we quote that verse? Where sin abounded. Sin is prevalent everywhere. But there's never more sin than there is grace. Grace always abounds more. So where there is sin abounding, grace does much more abound. In the lives of individuals, in the churches, in the lives and homes of people, the grace of God can abound. So it's abundant in its supply. The Bible says in Romans 6:1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Paul was having to deal with some folks that said, "Well, if grace always is abounding, then the more we sin, the more we'll see the grace of God. So we'll sin the more so we can see God's grace." And Paul says, "God forbid, we don't do that to show God's abounding grace." He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then he says, "Nay." And so we find that we don't sin in order to show God's grace, but when we sin, thank God we can see God's grace. And we can have it in our hearts and lives and have an abundance of that. It's accessible to all. It's accessible to anyone that might come. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us come therefore boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad one day I could come to the throne of God boldly and realize and recognize that I was a sinner. But I'm glad I can still go to the throne of God. I can still participate in our talking to each other and having accessibility to the very place where the Lord has for us. Now, I can't go to the governor's mansion unless I'm invited. I can't go to the White House. Don't want to go to the White House. But I couldn't go there if I wanted to unless invited. But I can go to the throne of God. You know why? I have been invited. I have that invitation. Let us come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. I needed mercy when I was lost, but I need mercy every day. I need mercy in my life continually because we are still in this flesh. We still fight the battle. Again, I was talking to the lady there at the bank today, and we was talking on these lines, and I told her, I said, the battle we go through every day, I said, our minds and our lives, we are not totally, we're not totally saved yet. We're still going that direction. Now, I'm saved as far as going to heaven, but my mind has a whole lot of work to be done. My mind wanders, my mind sins, my mind looks, my eyes see, my ears hear things that I should not, and my heart sometimes follow after that. That shows that we haven't arrived yet. We're not totally, completely away from this thing of sin. We fight the battle every day. And so therefore, I can come boldly to the throne of God, the throne of grace, and I can find mercy for my soul. I can find forgiveness in my life. And thank God we have that. We can have access unto His grace. The Bible says in Romans 5:2, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I'm glad I can go to the Lord on a moment's notice. I don't have to call and get an appointment. I don't have to say, I wonder if He'll hear me. I have access. I have access to His throne room, and I can go to Him because He is accessible. The grace of God is that which can be experienced by all that would come and know Him, all that would follow after Him. And the grace of God has ability to do a work in my life. Not only is it accessible, but it has abilities. 2 Corinthians, Paul is told by the Lord, my grace is sufficient. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, whatever it might have been. My grace is sufficient. Whatever comes to us, I'm glad tonight we can say our God is sufficient. His grace will help us through the problems of life, the struggles that come. Doesn't mean we do not struggle with them. Does not mean we don't have problems. Doesn't mean that we sometimes don't have fear and doubts and questions. But His grace is sufficient to see us through everything that comes our way. We're doing pretty good tonight. We're all doing pretty well tonight. But it might change in the morning. But guess what? His grace is sufficient. His grace is well sufficient to take care of us. And so He has that ability. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Paul said, I've asked Him three times to take it away. He says, my grace is sufficient. So Paul says, I'm just going to glory in what God gives me in my infirmities, the problems of His flesh. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Here the Apostle Paul, that we think is one of the greatest men that ever lived, and he is one of the greatest, and here he looks at himself, he says, I'm least of all the saints. Paul recognized that what he was by the grace of the Lord. What you are and what I am, what we will be, is all because of His grace. He tells us in verse 7 of Ephesians 4, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8 says, wherefore He saith, when He ascended on high and led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, that is, but also descended first in the lower part of the earth, he that descended is the same also that ascended up. Verse number 11, then he says, to the church he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and it's for the reason of the perfecting or the maturing of the child of God. That word perfect there does not mean without sin. The perfecting of the saint is the maturing of a babe in Christ to become a full-grown, mature adult in the Lord Jesus' work. And so we are to, according to Titus, we are to live for him, deny ungodliness, and live righteously and godly in this present world. There's a world that we live in that must see and needs to see the grace of the Lord. So we've seen the grace. It appeared to us. It's abundant. It's accessible. It has abilities. But thank God it is available. Available to all that will call upon him. He will by grace give them new life, give them a home in heaven, and give them eternity. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I'm glad that the grace of our Lord is abundant. After the song Amazing Grace has been written and sung hundreds of thousands of times, there have been many other songs written about the grace of God. But there was one written not too long ago, and it makes almost a circle. It says there's no other word for grace but what? Amazing. Thank God for the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here tonight because he has given us grace. We'll get up in the morning if we are able to do that because of his grace. We are able to go about our daily walk of life, our daily chores that are before us. We do that because he has given us his grace, his mercy. Even though we may feel we're the least of the saints, as Paul did, he abundantly gives us his mercy. So I pray tonight that we'll rejoice in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll rejoice in what he has done for us and continue to do that for us. So let's just rejoice in him and thank him for his mercy. Let's stand together.